KSCU Santa Clara presents. Robots Attack. Movies. TV. Video games. Comic books. Tech stuff. News. Music. Affiliates Geek. It's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. I am Joe, and with me is Caleb.
Hello, everyone.
We got Super Jason.
Yeah.
And we got Jan.
Hello.
All righty. We're here to bring you a good show this week, and I think we've got some good topics, some good news stories, all that jazz. But before we get to anything, last week, Caleb dropped the bomb of epicness.
Yes.
Quickly explain what that epicness was.
I got a job.
Woo!
Yay.
And it started
Monday.
On Monday. Yes. So tell us, how's it been?
It's been really good. I've been able to work on new icons for the next version of the app and put some input on the layouts for some of the menus and things like that. So it's been fun. I've been playing in Photoshop all week long so far. Pardon me, and it's been good times.
Cool. And the company is again just
Transmed. They do they have a software product called Bioinfrastructure. Anyway, it's a system for making sense of the data that all the data that will. That flows into a hospital, like say that, so they want to track, or get a see how many people between this time and this time were diagnosed with a particular kind of cancer. They can actually how many biopsies had this kind of result. Like it's intended to be sort of a tool for researchers and also administrators to kind of like just sort of get a feel for how their programs and their hospitals are working, just a way to make sense of all the data they generate every single day.
Nice.
Yeah, this sounds like it could have some really useful applications. I mean, if you can see,
the joke you did there.
Yeah, you could have
I don't think Jen does.
I do. Serious face.
Stoic.
But yeah, I mean, you can see the correlations and, hopefully find, reasons why these things are happening. It could be very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We're working on the next version, and my sort of supervisor person's been very pleased with what I've been working on. So
nice.
This is me doing a little happy dance. You can't see it.
It's radio, but
it's really quite happy, though.
Yeah, he's definitely showing off the happiness. Super Jason, how about yourself?
I ended up doing tons of entertainment type things. I caught completely up with Strip Search, Penny Arcade title.
Yeah, just to clarify. What are you watching?
They can't put that on TV.
I figured I'd probably better throw that on there. But ended up grabbing the new character for Borderlands, which I've enjoyed a ton.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in the game discussion specifically.
Right. Just played a ton of video games is what it comes down to. So.
It's a good week.
Yeah,
it's a good week.
Not too bad at all, I suppose.
Jen?
Well, so he's been playing lots of entertainment stuff. I have been playing one entertainment. I've been playing lots of Batman.
Which Batman?
Batman Arkham City. So I finished that story. There's actually a trailer out for a little teaser coming out for the next one, Arkham Origins, I believe it's called.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
Yes.
The Arkham series has been pretty good.
Yeah. Yes, it really has been. I was so excited when they said Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill were going to be doing the voices. Like, oh my God.
So they got Mark to come back one more time?
Oh, I don't know for the next one.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like they're going to be in Origins, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it stinks, but it's kind of like, well, it is supposed to be Batman kind of a little bit earlier on. So, you know, if they get someone halfway decent, it
mm-hmm.
still be okay.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it'll still be good, I think.
I mean, it won't beat like Barbie Arkham Origins or something like that. That'd be pretty awesome.
It would.
I'd look forward to that one.
And how are you, Joe?
It's been kind of crazy for me. I've been working on a video for a contest. And,
which is really cool.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you all for voting and supporting and all that stuff.
We'll be putting a link up on the our thing.
Yeah, I put it up on our page. But cool. Anyway, it's for a game. We talked about the demo last week called Fuse from Insomniac Games. They had put out a contest that they asked fans to make a 1 minute or less video about the game, and you had to either use all original material, anything basically that you'd own the rights for, or that I guess no one would own the rights for, and like open source stuff, mm-hmm. Or material they provided, or a mix of both. And there was about like 5 or 6 days since they announced to the deadline. Like the deadline was the 14th.
That's not a lot of time.
Not a whole lot of time. So I was pretty much like over the weekend and up until about 11 o'clock that Tuesday, like making sure I had everything
mm-hmm.
finalized and everything like that. But I put a link up on our Facebook page if you want to check it out. But definitely check out some of the other videos. There's some other pretty cool ones on there as well. But that's pretty much what I was been focusing on. And I'm looking forward to Friday after work so I can have the weekend, because work has also been not the funnest.
Oh,
so.
Bummer.
That sucks.
So, yeah, that's been my week. So.
Well, it sounds interesting, if nothing else.
Yeah. It's a non-adventure?
Yeah. The adventure known as life.
Not exactly Indiana Jones we're talking here, Fortune and Glory, but more than just...
more than Batman. I mean, playing Batman, I should say.
Oh, okay. I was like, whoa, Batman goes on a lot of adventures. I don't know. But anyway, we got a great show for you this week. We've got the news, of course. We've got Caleb's Corner. We've got the game discussion. And we've got our core. In the core, we're going to be talking about the new Call of Duty Ghosts. We're going to talk about the teaser trailer. We're going to talk about what we'd like to see in it, what might be in it. All our thoughts, because next week at the Xbox reveal, they're going to show off some more actual footage.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of getting in our predictions of what maybe we'd like to see. And then we'll see next week when we talk about everything Xbox for the next console. We'll see if we were right, wrong, how it compared and all that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And the game discussion, we're going to hit game... Sanctum 2, we're going to talk about Resident Evil Revelation, and as Super Jason mentioned, the DLC for Borderlands 2, the Krieg DLC that dropped. And anyone else happen to hit anything that you'd want to talk about? Or
Not in gaming.
Okay. And of course, Caleb's Corner, what do we have for this week?
Today I will be opinionating about original content from Netflix.
Oh, I am interested.
And of course, the news, which you expect. But before all of that, let's hit out the new releases. Dropping apparently today, just because it's like were cooler than Fridays, so that's come out on a Thursday, the new Star Trek Into Darkness.
Woo!
Then we have 33 postcards.
Better than 31.
Erased. Black Rock. Yeah.
Some thrilling titles there.
The English Teacher. There you go. Rounded off with some school. Movie with Julianne Moore and Greg Kinnear.
I think all the other movies just went Star Trek. Oh, never mind.
Yeah. Very possible. Let's see. Over in Disclandia, 310 to Yuma, the Criterion release comes out. And this is the original 310 to Yuma, not the remake from a couple years ago.
The non-Christian Bale
and Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe one.
Yeah. Then there is Cloud Atlas on Blu-ray and DVD. Also an anime feature film called Colorful. Dexter.
In black and white.
Nice. I see what you did there. Let's see. Dexter's seventh season is now on DVD and Blu-ray. There's a film out of Norway called Escape, available on Blu-ray and DVD. And you're going to round it out with Oldie Goldie remake, Texas Chainsaw, also on Blu-ray and DVD.
All right.
So he can see all that gore in high def. At least it's not 3D.
I think there's a 3D version.
Yeah, I'm sure of it. Sure when it was in the theaters, at least.
Yeah.
Oh, that did remind me. I did actually watch the second Silent Hill movie.
Oh, yeah.
The story is... but the visuals are pretty cool. Like, if you're a fan of the game series, you're going to, like, that's cool. Like, there's a really awesome scene with the nurses from Silent Hill, if you're familiar with the series.
Okay,
you'll know what I'm talking about.
Right.
And... probably the best scene, I'm not going to spoil it, but it involves mannequins and clear plastic wrap. Like perhaps say, Dexter that Dexter uses. I'll just leave it at that. It was really cool. Like if I say too much more, it'll spoil it when you see what happens
So basically you're going to make me watch a really bad movie.
It's only fair because for all the times you've done it to us.
What's weird is like you watch it and it's not as though, I mean, if you're a fan of the first, like the first movie is definitely better all around.
Right.
But it's not that it's like a horrible movie to watch, but it's just not done very well. Like it's rushed a lot. It lacks any subtext in anything. Everything is just on the surface, from the dialogue to people's reaction to stuff. Just there's nothing, no subtext.
Okay, that's right up my alley then.
So if you go in knowing that, I mean, and you like Silent Hill, the visuals are cool. It's definitely for that. So
right on. I might still have to check that one out. I like the first one quite a bit.
Yeah. All right, moving on to video games from that movie that was a video game.
Nice.
See, they based it off the third Silent Hill 3.
Oh, okay.
And I think at the very end, this doesn't give anything away, they do a little homage to the Silent Hill game. I think it's Origins, which we also sort of mentioned in another video game, Origins, that was like a truck driver, because there's like a truck driver in it. And then after that, there's like, I think, an homage to Downpour, Silent Hill Downpour.
Interesting.
So I was like, whoa, hey, that's the... Wow, they're like covering a whole bunch of ones. Anyway, so we have...
So they don't have to make the movies of those.
Yeah.
I think I could do Downpour. I think if someone came to me and said, all right, write the script for Downpour, I think I could come up with something.
Go for it.
I thought that was could be an interesting one if done right. But anyway, to the video games. We have
video games.
Metro Last Light, which I want to get and play. We have Dust 514. We have Sanctum 2, which we'll be talking about later. Anomaly 2. Thunderwolves.
Thunderwolves. Hello.
Not
hello. well, if for me, when I read that title, you thought Airwolf. You wouldn't be too far off. Thunderwolves puts you in the hot seat of an experienced helicopter group that has survived a flurry of bullets with starbursts. No, I added the starbursts. looks like the Uprising DLC dropped this week for PS3 and PC. The 360 gets it first for a while. Got some DLC for Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, Blade Wolf.
Man, that's such a Japanese title.
Yeah. Mr. Coffee's Destruction. Deconstruction. Deconstruction. There we go. Okay. I don't want him to be destroyed, but I don't know. Dress to Play Magic Bubbles. I'll end it on that.
Magic there we go. Bubbles.
Alrighty. Let's see. Over in Comicdom, on DC, it's a bit Bat-centric, with Batgirl number 20 and Nightwing number 20. Although technically Nightwing isn't Bat, but he's part of the Bat universe. We'll go with that.
Yeah, we get it.
Then on the Marvel, it's Age of Ultron number 8 and Iron Man number 10, part of the new Now line.
Now!
That's right.
Yes!
Over on the indie side, there is BPRD, Hell on Earth, number 107. Regular Show, number 1. That's right, the hit show from Cartoon Network is getting its own comic. Dream Merchant, number 1. And Doomsday.1, number 1. There's two ones.
Number 1.
Yes.
Okay. Think I got it. But it's not now.
It's not now. That's okay. That one's
later.
But before the two, but then.
So then it's not later. It's before.
Currently.
Now. Yeah, there we go. Speaking of things that are current.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How to do this? I've been to conventions in the past. Mm-hmm. They were lots of fun. I hear that San Jose has a convention with comics and stuff in it this weekend. I think the name was called Big Wow Comic Fest.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yay.
It sounds pretty wow-ish.
Yes. I'm trying to do this without it sound like I'm making a commercial.
Yeah.
So, since we can't do commercials.
But yes, that is the big currently the biggest comic event going on in Northern California right now, except for maybe Ape, but Ape's a little that's Alternative Press Expo, and that's later, and that's indie stuff, so it's not as many big name people there.
Yeah, cuz I mean San Jose doesn't get too many big ones. I mean, there's got Big Wow and Fanime.
That's our two big ones.
So, you know. Yeah.
Yes, we can be geeks and be excited that there's a convention. Yay!
Mm-hmm.
It is a little bit weird since they're remodeling the convention center right now. So it's like all torn to shreds and they're going to have this convention there.
Could totally go with some of the themes, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of post-apocalyptic comics out there.
That is true.
It's true. That's true.
And if you did happen to go to their website and check out their guest list, there's some names in there you'll probably recognize.
It's gotten a lot better in the last few days too.
Yeah, yeah.
Mhm. Yeah, there's several people on there that I would be highly excited to hear them speak about things.
Mhm.
Perhaps a man with the last name Lee who is very famous.
Bruce and Lee's gonna be there.
Yes, they're gonna do a seance.
Brandon Lee's gonna be there too. No.
Yeah, they're gonna have them both. They're gonna be holograms.
Yes,
dude, you guys, he's totally talking about Chun-Li.
Also hologram, also dead.
Or at least her
the last
careers.
Movie killed her.
Did a decent job at it.
Yeah, kid killed the fictional character that is Chun-Li. I didn't know where to throw this in, but I'm just going to throw it in now. I saw a thing for an Adventure Time game for the consoles, not just the handheld.
What?
So, yes.
Yeah.
That's going to be pretty awesome.
Pretty
yes. Okay.
Hopefully it's masterfully cel-shaded, so it just nails that entire personality.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope so, too. Well, before we tease the folks with some news, Jen's got a PSA.
Do you guys want to listen to KSCU even when you're not near a radio?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So stream us wherever you want at www.kscu.org or on the TuneIn radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound.
That's sweet. Right. We put links to our news stories, our topics, all that jazz. So definitely check it out. I think there might even be a link for some things that we just literally talked about a few seconds ago. Anyway, speaking of the news, what have you got for the folks to tease them?
Well, let's see. I got to go to my other tab.
If you want to ride your suitcase, I have a way.
Whoa. Okay. Okay.
Interesting.
They made saddles for those little wheeled ones now.
You just have to wait and see.
Yeah, you'll have to wait for it.
I don't want
to. I got an interesting news story about exactly how much of peak internet time belongs to our favorite streaming services.
Ooh.
All right. Well, you'll definitely want to stick around for that. We're going to take a quick music break and come back with the news. We are Robots Attack.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share your stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook.
News. All right, welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We are now in the news. All right, what have you got for us, gentlemen?
I'll start off with my story about the...
Do you need a tab for it first? Or?
No, I got it. The funny little story, interesting little story about how Netflix and YouTube are now together... are 49.4% of peak internet traffic in North America.
Wow.
That seems like a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a tad.
Netflix specifically is 32.3, and YouTube is 17.1, but still, like, their combined ability is almost 50% of all internet traffic in North America.
That's crazy.
At peak. So like after 6 o'clock, if your DSL begins to slow down or your cable internet is slowing down just a little bit, it's because everyone's streaming Netflix.
Wow.
Almost. There's a lot of people out there doing it. Just it's a pretty interesting little tidbit about the world and where it's going. It's like, yes, video is more data through the pipes, but the fact that there's still that much of it is pretty impressive.
So is this like at any given point, basically, if somebody says I'm online, 50, you can say 50% chance that they're either on Netflix or YouTube?
Not quite. Okay. It's at peak, which
that's
is generally
not what that means at all. Jeez.
Asking for clarification.
You're the math person.
I didn't want to say anything.
That block between like 6 to 8 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
In that time frame, if someone's online, then you can say there's within a fair amount of accuracy that there's a pretty decent chance they're either on Netflix or YouTube. More likely Netflix and YouTube, but still, there's a lot of that.
Yeah. Wow,
it's impressive, most impressive.
Yes. And now, young network, you will join me on the cable side of the force. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, you know, hey, you know, if we yeah, worked whatever. On it a little earlier, planned it, maybe we could have come up with some.
On a related note, they are starting to crack down on people who share their passwords for Netflix. So if you're one of those people, beware and watch what you're doing, because I think they're going to start going after you.
Mostly because they're rolling out their multi-password family plan stuff. So.
Yeah. Multi-queue or something like that.
Yeah. So it's really almost better in a way, except that you have to pay more. But yeah, other than that, better. Okay, we're going to go straight from that into the most awesome segue ever, because it's similar to a segue.
Hey!
Scooter type thing. Yeah. Anyway, Honda has been working on... what can be called a suitcase portable driving machine for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And they've been making them like crazy and showing them off at conventions and as like little press things. Well, you can finally buy one. They're actually selling a suitcase-sized scooter that is a mono wheel that runs like a Segway for $2,700.
Huh. So does that also mean you can overclock the change the motor in it, and you can live out your have a Battle Angel Alita little device?
It's a little bit small for that, maybe. Okay. But she was quite small, so
she was.
I mean that makes sense. Right now, it's running off of a 500 watt electric motor, tops out at about 13 miles per hour. So you're not gonna be like taking on your Kaneda. Or whatnot. the unfortunate thing for me, which knocks me right out of it, is that it can only support riders up to 250 pounds. I'm large, so I can't do that, unfortunately. So I'm working on losing weight right now.
It's not your fault you're built fjord tough.
It's true. I am built fjord tough.
It's very clever.
Thank you.
How long have you been waiting to use that?
He's been sitting on that one. That one's written on his underwear.
Dang it. Nice. Well, I wish you luck, good sir.
Well, thank you.
In your endeavor to get one of those and lose weight. And
it's a little bit expensive for effectively one of the electric vehicles, but it's such a cool electric vehicle. We're going to throw some pictures up on our webpage of it, and it looks like the future. It's really kind of neat.
The future!
It is an odd looking thing, though, having somebody riding around on a little briefcase. I'll give it that.
Well, speaking of odd, I've got sort of a follow-up to a story I had last week about Warner Brothers getting the Dungeons & Dragons, you know, license, like gearing up, you know, like, hey, people like that Game of Thrones. Let's make some more fantasy movies, right?
Yeah.
Well, looks like Hasbro sues over Warner's Dungeons & Dragons movie. This story from IGN.
What?
Yeah. Hasbro has essentially told Warners to back off, man, their planned D&D film, as they were working on their own similar project with Universal and writer-director Chris Morgan. The news came just a few days after Warners announced that they had acquired the rights to the film and were already knee-deep in development on their D&D script based on David Leslie Johnson's Chainmail.
Knee-deep in something.
Yep. THR reports that Hasbro has filed a suit against producer Courtney Solomon's Sweet Pea Entertainment. The company teamed with WB.
Spelled with two E's? Or
yes. On the D&D and Chainmail film, Solomon directed and produced the 2000 live-action D&D film starring Jeremy Irons, Marlon Wayans, and Thora Birch. And also exec produced the 2005 sequel, which was much better, but, you know, nothing amazing.
Still nothing to write home about.
It was more what you would have expected from a D&D movie.
Yeah.
Which is both a good and bad thing at the same time.
Yeah.
Both were unfortunately like the high and low points. Like, well, I mean, as far as matching quality with Uwe Boll movies.
Yeah. And stereotypes abound.
Yes.
Of D&D. According to the complaint, Sweet Pea acquired rights to the property by an agreement in 1994. However, those rights have since allegedly reverted back to Hasbro's Wizards of the Coast after a designated period of inactivity with the property. And now that Warner Brothers has gotten involved, Hasbro seeks damages over the defendants falsely claiming ownership of the sequel rights to WB. Niall Solomon has struck back, releasing the following statement regarding Hasbro's lawsuit and his intention to move forward with his new D&D movie. Quote, "We have made 3 pictures so far, and we're going to make more, including the tentpole project that is currently in advanced stages of development with Warner Brothers," said Solomon. "This is nothing but shameless opportunism on the part of Hasbro, an effort to use the court and the legal process in an attempt to delay the project. We intend to deal with them quickly and firmly, and we are confident we will prevail.
With our broadswords."
Yes, just as we did in the 1990s when the last legal challenge ended with the confirmation of Sweet Pea's rights. So there you have it, the battle over the D&D movie.
It's just so weird, like, this battle of Sweet Pea.
Yeah.
So Hasbro is owned by George Lucas, right?
No.
No?
No?
Hasbro's...
Where do you hear these things?
No, I thought... Oh, never mind then. No.
Hasbro does own a bunch of game stuff.
Yeah.
And I
They're
think
owned
they
by
have...
Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah. I think Transformers is Hasbro,
yes.
I think. Yeah. So
G.I. Joe, yeah. Transformers, mm-hmm. Battleship.
Okay, so my joke totally falls flat, so never mind.
No, go ahead, tell it.
No, yeah.
Now we're curious.
We promise we won't laugh.
That works on so many levels. I like that.
You know what, you guys? I'm moving away. I can't take this anymore.
No. Oh, no. Wait. You're... I see what you did there. The
yeah,
audience
now I'm
going
to
like...
put it on Facebook that it was because of you guys.
The audience is like, I don't know what they're talking about. Just play some Skynyrd, man. Just free bird. Free bird.
Free bird.
It's 10 minutes long. I need that minute. Hey, who's next?
I'll go next. For those who may not remember, let me start over.
Rewind.
Pixar,
from
Pixar,
the beginning?
Not quite that beginning. Pixar made their most recent feature was Brave, which featured the first kind of their first princess film, but also a non-traditional, but also not a Disney princess. But now, since Disney is their parent company, they have tried to bring her into the Disney princess universe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm following you now.
All right, so when they did that, they released an image of what this new version of Merida will look like, and she looks not
the same.
Much like herself. She does still have red hair. She does still have a green dress, but her physique is
she's got been, curves
has been enhanced, shall we say. And a lot of people.
No, it hasn't.
You seriously? You can't see the difference in her waistline here, and yeah, anyways,
and her chest.
Anyway, the a lot of people felt that the
Super Jason can't tell the difference.
Hey, this is a big story. This actually made the news, you know.
Yeah, because several people thought that this was a very unfortunate turn for not an atypical design for a Disney princess. And so they started there was an online petition which got over 200,000 signatures for asking Disney to change their design process, the design of this this thing.
You have the story posted to our Facebook page so people can?
Yes.
I mean, obviously, if you're driving, don't look.
Yes. don't try and look it up just yet.
This way people can see, they can take a look at the picture and either side with Super Jason or Caleb.
I can kind of see it, I'll agree, but I don't think it's like, oh man, they turned her into Barbie doll. So...
It is not as extreme as that, but it is a departure from the way she looked, and also and which could potentially lead them into adjusting the way her character interacts with other people, with other Disney properties, which is where a lot of people were like, this design, her original design was a large part of her appeal for many people.
I didn't think you liked that one all that much.
I didn't like it as much. Doesn't mean I didn't like it.
Okay, so the appeal worked then.
Yeah, I thought it was a nice change of pace from some of the more stereotypical princess stories.
The picture looks more. I'm looking at it right now, instead of just going off of memory. It looks more. It kind of contrasts more with her, like.
To me, it was just a costuming thing.
It's definitely more like from the movie. She just looks kind of like more of a normal girl.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, it looks like they threw a little bit more like makeup kind of on her, made her a little bit more hourglass shaped. Just whereas like in the movie, she's just like a girl, like
It's almost like they aged her a few years, and you know, it's like in the movie she was a little girl, and then this picture she's more of a woman. Which isn't necessarily.
They just
a bad
made her
thing,
look a little more
it's
feminine than like kind of just a regular girl. I don't know.
So the
it's not. I don't see this huge. I mean, to me, the biggest thing is like the hourglass figure. They made her waist a little bit thinner. Like
I'll agree on the waist. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just sort of the way they've drawn her. They've sort of emphasized things in the after picture more so than in the movie itself.
Yeah. And
it
but
and
she's already got curves though.
Yeah, that's the thing. I wouldn't say that they gave her curves. She had curves.
Mm-hmm.
She looked just like a normal person. In,
yeah.
That didn't care about the way she looked and her hair and all that sort of stuff. Whereas if you look on the right, it makes her character seem more like a princess.
Yeah, she's more
like the typical princess.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
That I think that's kind of more the outrage that I see versus the actual, like, you know,
the design of it itself. Yeah,
but
yeah,
go on.
So, Disney apparently has heard some of this cry, and they have removed that particular image from their corporate website. Although their promotional materials for this new line of Disney princesses has been in production and it's already being moved out onto shelves. So a certain amount of this image is still going to be out there and sold.
So if you're a collector, you want to grab that stuff.
Yes. If you're into that collecting, unusual items
for the store right now.
Wait, Super Jesus. He's gone.
There
I guess you have the mic to yourself now.
Yay!
I'm back. I already got it. Whoa.
Oh, wow. That was fast.
Well, man,
you are super.
Hey,
Super Jason.
So, but there is a bit of moral victory in this, although some people are a little bit unsure about how they actually feel about the whole thing. I think it's unfortunate that they made some of these aesthetic choices, but at the same time, I can kind of see where they were going with it. But I think it's one of those, like, to me, it's about opening up the discussion about these things, because that's this is another example of where we need to like examine how these images are being portrayed, used, etc. So there you go.
Good point.
I agree. Before our next story, while Super Jason nods, shakes his head. In disgust, I will tell you that you're listening to Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We're in the news. We're talking geek stuff. We just talked about Brave, the Pixar movie. Now what are we talking about?
That's down to you, because I have a robot story, so I don't know if you want to go first.
I can go for it.
Okay. They've been experimenting with what they call ornithopters for a long time for making robotic flight.
The magic card.
Right, exactly.
Wasn't that the one
ever
that was free?
Since back
yes.
in...
Yeah.
But it would accept enchantments, so you can put cool things on it, make it buffer.
There you go.
Nope.
Anyways, continue.
I use that card a ton actually too. I cannot condescend. Yes. Anyway,
you're in the studio with us.
Right. In my infamous artifact deck, which people would always shatter storm, but anyway, they just started realizing that the classic design of the ornithopters, which they've translated into a new line of robot designs, is flawed in a pretty major but basic way, is that they're based on the idea that you have the wings flying or moving the exact same way, which it is possible to mimic flight that way and do a certain number of things, but half of the reason why birds are able to fly as well as they do is that they actually have control of each wing individually, so they can tilt around and be able to deal with extra circumstances like winds coming from cross directions and all sorts of stuff like that. Well, oddly enough, they're just now making the first robot that has independent control of each wing. And they're calling it the Robo Raven.
Robo Raven.
Come with me if you want to fly.
Yeah. I was looking for the group that's actually putting it together, but it's from Professor S.K. Gupta. He's been blogging about the thing. And
any relation to Sanjay Gupta?
I was wondering that same thing, too, but I didn't know if it would be a little bit weird me asking that because it makes certain assumptions that don't make me look good. So thank you.
Hey, that's what I'm here for.
But anyway, we'll try and put the story up so people can... Oh, Maryland Robotics Center is the group that's putting it together. But yeah, the neat thing about it is that a lot of these different flying robots have been, like, they started as one thing and they've been slowly ramping it into having extra features on it, which is why you see so many quad rotor designs and them doing the new thing with the quad rotor and over and over and over with the same design. But it right off the bat, this thing is already showing that an extraordinary ability to carry small payloads, which a lot of the other designs had to work up to. So it's kind of neat stuff.
That is really cool.
Nice.
And again, learning from nature for our own good.
Well, the thing that I wish the story would have gotten into a little bit more was...
The rockets.
Well,
lasers.
I can only imagine how difficult it is to create. I mean, it's difficult enough to make wing movement that's efficient enough to make something fly.
Yes.
And having two of them going at the same time. Yeah. I don't know how they do that. That's really amazing stuff to me.
Yeah,
the magic.
The last bird one that I saw was one that they actually were able to get to land like a bird does, where it swoops down and then...
Yeah, we actually did
drop.
The story on here.
And that was what... But it was still... They had to, like, do it almost as a glide, like where it would start out higher than its landing, than its perch.
Right, and its main trick was that it could actually change the surface area and sort of directionality of the wings, which, I mean, paired up with all this stuff would be really awesome, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's one of those things that... If all of these different professors start working together, I can only imagine what this stuff would end up like and how quickly it would evolve. But, I mean, they have to mesh out their own designs first, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. But this is where the open sourcing science stuff is actually really cool. Where they share the research in a way that is beneficial to all, and they still retain their ownership of their research, which is important.
Yes, yes.
I agree. Okay. I'll quickly do my last story. Lucas was mentioned earlier, so this sort of kind of
the movie,
yeah. you know, the this has kind of been out there a little bit, but bear with me. We all know that LucasArts closed down. And you know, they weren't making any Star Wars games, and it was a sad thing to see people lose their jobs.
And there had been a line of flops, to be honest.
Yeah. But
1313 looked like it was gonna be good though.
Yeah, anyway, it's too bad. That'll never see the light of day. But never fear, console gamers, because EA acquires exclusive Star Wars game license. That's right, Dead Space Battlefield devs working on Star Wars projects.
Yeah, if anybody has the money to throw at Star Wars projects,
it's EA.
So yeah, according to the announcement, EA will develop and publish new Star Wars titles for a core gaming audience spanning all interactive platforms and the most popular game genres, while Disney will retain certain rights to develop new titles within the mobile, social, tablet, and online game categories.
Hmm.
That's Disney. When games were mentioned, those were the things that they kind of only talked about at first. So people were kind of afraid, like, oh, great. Are they only just going to make social games and mobile games and no actual, like, hardcore, quote-unquote, games?
1313 being an example.
Yeah, fear not. DICE and Visceral will produce new games, joining the BioWare team, which continues to develop for the Star Wars franchise. And I know just recently in L.A., DICE opened up a... I do this with air quotes. New studio. I think it's just Danger Close, and they're renaming it a DICE studio now. But it's going to be run by one of the guys from Sweden, I think, for Battlefield games, right?
Right.
You know, they haven't mentioned anything about Star Wars yet, but okay, so this is what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I want Visceral to make a Republic Commando 4-player co-op game, third person.
Yes!
That's what I want.
Pretty cool.
Because they
literally just gave me chills.
Yes.
You know me too well.
Because they did a good job with Dead Space. Uh-huh. So that's what I want to see with that.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I want to see is I want them to take, excuse me, Star Wars universe, the Bad Company universe, smash them together. I want to take that humor, that style, put it in the Star Wars universe.
That would be
cool. Totally see that.
Yeah, that would.
Smugglers, mercenaries, bounty hunters, whoever they want to get, the Republic troopers.
That would totally work.
That would be awesome. Because
heck, I'd be okay with just a skin.
But I mean, they've been having trouble with their single player campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
Bad Company. Except for the second one, I didn't think the single-player campaign was terribly great. But it's definitely the franchise with the best chance of having a good single-player.
Right, yeah.
So,
yeah. And it was fun to go through that single-player.
So they could pull in the
Rogue Squadron book series as like a base to build that off of, because they were kind of like the outcasts, the off-brand, so to speak.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're all nodding like you can see us. Yes.
I mean, yeah, the vehicles and stuff.
So, well, I mean, the group Rogue Squadron. They were like the special forces team of the New Republic. So
no, I get it. I just never liked them.
Well, there you go. So
what? Bring it, Star Wars fanboys! Bring it.
But they were badass. They were led by blah, blah, blah.
Get that Super Jason. I'm going to get him. I'm going to send him threatening emails and tweets and everything like that.
So I don't care.
That's how he rolls. So
and if you do want to send those to us.
Yeah, go away. Awesome segue.
You can find us on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack, 2 words. Or you can find us on Twitter, Robots Attack Me. And our email address is robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if all that's just like word soup, robotsattack.me, that has past episodes, and the interact button takes you to links for all of the other things I described, Facebook, Twitter, and email.
Yes.
Sweet stuff.
And if Visceral, you're listening and you heard that, you know, Republic Command idea, just give me a call. I don't care. I'll do whatever you want on it.
Me too.
I'm no developer or anything, but
anything.
I'll get you coffee while you make it. I don't care. I just want to see that.
Yeah.
Okay, to wrap up the news, we have...
Today in History!
Yay!
Okay, so in...
Yay!
1929, today was the first Academy Awards. Still going strong, too.
Oh, wow.
All right, and in
if you don't know what the Academy Awards are, awards. No, I won't recycle that joke.
That's a callback, thanks.
Oh, boy. All
right. They're like the Ray Bradbury Awards.
Yeah.
Sure.
Go on.
In 1960, Ted, I believe his last name is pronounced Mayman, was the first man to shoot a laser. Right here in California, too.
Whoa. Cool.
Yes. And then a little bit more recently, 2005, today, Sony unveiled...
The laser survived, just so people...
Oh, okay.
Get off the mic. Let me asserting myself. Get off the mic. A little bit more recently, in 2005, Sony unveiled the PS3 prototype.
So, prototype.
I mean, goodness, that was already much too long ago that I want to think about. And today is somebody's birthday, so here we go, gentlemen. Here's your little quiz for the day.
Okay. All
what right. actor can you use to connect Antonio Banderas, Lawrence Fishburne, and Michelle Rodriguez? Okay, and your choices are, because you guys wanted choices last
time. Okay,
We have...
Okay.
Danny Trejo,
okay.
Topher Grace, okay. or Willem Dafoe?
All of the above trick question. Just won it, yeah.
I'm going to go with Willem Dafoe.
No. No, Jason. Okay, we got to vote for Willem Dafoe.
I'll go with the Danny Trejo.
He's got Danny
another,
Trejo.
That's another good choice.
So you're going to go...
Well, wait, what's yours?
Mine's the correct Trixie. Answer.
Trixie's. Kevin Bacon.
Well, that's cheating.
All right, you guys ready for the answer?
Yes.
The answer is Danny Trejo.
Oh,
Danny Trejo's birthday today.
Our respect and admiration.
Yes. Yeah, yes. He was born in 1944.
Huh.
Yeah. He's an older gentleman.
Man, he's old.
Yeah.
But still going strong.
Still going strong. Yeah, I mean, and there's obviously a lot of actors and actresses I could have used to link him. He's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Dang, how old are his tattoos?
They're powerful.
Yes.
Do they give him his power?
That might be part of it.
That might be part of it.
Okay. Help him channel the mystical energies of the universe.
Mystical tattoos unite.
Tattoo
Machete
Mage.
3.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Because didn't one of the D&D-ish games we played had magic tattoos or something? Or?
Yeah, Tattoo Mage.
Yeah, one of the really obscure books, if I remember right.
Yeah.
So that's how we roll. Like, oh, wow, click.
Oh, right. Yeah. Bonus points for any of the viewers out there, or listeners, I guess. It's probably a little bit better. Who can tell which expansion that was from?
Yeah, just send it to us on our Facebook or Twitter or email, whatever.
Mm-hmm. I remember I was watching Machete, and then the roommate comes in and goes, "Did he just hang that guy with his own intestines?"
That's Machete.
The answer is heck yeah.
All right, so that's been the news for Robots Attack. We're going to take another music break and then come back with Caleb's Corner.
Yes. Quick opinionation about the original content coming out of Netflix.
All right. And before our music break, we've got a PSA.
Yoga in the park. Join the Guadalupe River Park Conservancy, this summer for Yoga in the
Park.
Yoga instructor Kristen Strelis, I hope I got that right, will lead a gentle outdoor yoga class designed to improve your flexibility, balance, and relaxation. Release your stress and worries through motion in the beautiful outdoor setting at the Guadalupe River Park on Thursday nights from 6:15 to 7:15 p.m. from June 6th through June 27th, and a second series July 18th through August 8th. Call 408-298-7657 or visit www.grpg.org to learn more.
All right. Let's get to that music break and then come back with more Robots Attack.
Woo! You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
And now, it's time for Caleb's Corner.
That's right, talking about... yes, welcome back to Robots Attack on KSU Santa Clara. And we're in Caleb's Corner, where I get to opinionate. And
then my opinions are not necessarily shared by those of my fellow co-hosts or KSCU, so they do not reflect either of that unless they choose to agree with it, what I have to say. And
or really anybody, I mean.
Yeah, but if I say something strange, it doesn't reflect their on them. That's all I'm saying. Just it's just me. So the
we'll just unplug you if you get to.
In case you haven't heard, Netflix is making their own shows. That their Reed Hastings has said that, I don't know if it was Reed, but one of their executives has said that their goal is to try and become HBO before HBO becomes them.
Ooh. Which I applaud.
Yes, and it looks like they're well on their way. The House of Cards has been very well received.
Have you watched any of that?
Just bits and pieces here and there, and it's really well shot. I'll give it, it's interesting. I like
ooh,
the
dig. So that's an under the radar dig, if you know him.
It just means I haven't gotten very far into it to have as overly informed opinion about the characters. Their second outing was Hemlock Grove, and that one I've seen the most of, and that one is unfortunate. But I have hope for their next series, which is.
Wait, what's unfortunate about it?
I'll get back to that in just a sec.
No,
which is their new sci-fi series, which is next. But Hemlock Grove is, it's a more of a horror show, and it's about werewolves and stuff like that. That's not really a spoiler. It's kind of
because hemlock, you know, scary.
Yeah,
and
there's a hand coming out of a wolf's mouth.
Yeah, if you know how to read the image at least a little bit, there's not so subtle clues, but The thing that I enjoy a good procedural police drama, kind of like The Killing on AMC. I thought that was actually really good. And Hemlock Grove looked like it was really kind of going for that sort of vibe, but with more of a supernatural tone, which I thought would have could, which I to me would be like, yes, this sounds like really awesome. It for me it did not deliver.
Okay.
It got almost the way there. It's well shot. Reasonably well acted.
How many episodes have you watched?
Six.
Okay. How many?
Five. There's 13.
Okay, six out of five?
No. Five or six. I can't remember exactly, but I.
Okay. So you've given it a fair shot.
I feel like I gave it a fair shot.
Well, I watched one and then.
Yeah. The first episode was like, okay. Second episode, I'm like, all right. Third episode, I actually got a little bit of character payoff. I'm like, all right. I think my actually started to go somewhere now, and then episode 4 and 5 were just sort of like, and I stopped caring again. And I think that was to me the biggest beef with it is that I just stopped caring about the characters. Like they were sort of interesting.
That sounds like a personal problem.
No, like I said, these are my opinions about it.
It's true.
And that can definitely be harder because it's like you start to care. It's like, oh, okay, it's finally hit its stride. This is going to be great, and then it. Sort of loses it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I was getting ready to like you and now it's back to where it was.
Yeah. And I don't mind a show that kind of meanders. Like The Killing had a certain pacing to it. And this show has a similar sort of pacing, but it doesn't have, like each episode of The Killing, there was something about a character or a motivation that was revealed in every episode.
Did you watch both seasons of that?
No. And to be fair, I have not actually completed The Killing yet. It's I just haven't got around to it, unfortunately, and it was on cable, and I don't have cable, so I haven't been able to watch all of it. Anyways, but I really liked what I saw, and I felt, and every episode made me want to come back and watch more. Hemlock Grove was almost doing that, and it seemed like it would get right up to the edge and then say, "Nah, I don't want to jump," and just fall over and roll back down the hill again.
Okay.
So it's
which is fun if you're in a wheelbarrow, but for
show. Main thing is that it's interesting. It might work for you. I didn't like it that much, and I think. But what I do like about it is that it shows that Netflix is taking chances and doing interesting things. Okay. Whether I like them all or not, they're doing something different, something that puts sort of the flicks in Netflix. You know it.
Okay.
And so I applaud them for trying, but better luck with the next one is all I'm saying. But maybe you have listener out there, you might actually like it. It's kind of cool, but it wasn't for me.
So the next one,
is the
not counting Arrested Development season 4 or 5, whatever it is.
Yeah. Season, who cares?
Yeah, the next one is shoot, I can't remember what the name of it is right now, but it's a sci-fi show.
But this is the one you're interested in?
Yeah, this one I'm interested in because it has a bunch of criminals that get shunted back through time, and a detective is accidentally caught up with them. So it's kind of like...
That sounds like...
Time Cop.
Continuum that's on USA or something like that.
Hmm.
Or the Sci-Fi Channel. Does it star like a redheaded chick as the detective?
I think it might be a redhead on the cover. So maybe it's not
that's
the original
not
series.
An original Dang series. It. No, sorry.
I thought it was. All right, never
yeah,
mind.
Yeah, I think that's there. It's on.
Yeah, it is on there, but okay, it wasn't what I thought it was. Sigh. Oh well.
are you?
But
excited?
Still, we look forward to the next sci-fi series that they actually do.
Mm-hmm. If they're not doing one,
Netflix
they should.
Does.
Yeah.
Are you excited for Arrested Development season, whatever it is?
I never saw the original, so okay. I can't say. I hear good
well,
things.
Well, they're on there, so if you want to watch them, I guess.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to check them out.
Okay, so the two
series?
Well, I guess technically what, the very first one was that Lilyhammer
mm-hmm.
or whatever?
Oh, that's
was
true.
Their first
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
original stuff. But
that was
so out of all the Netflix original things, how you feeling?
I feel like they are. I feel like they're like any young network. They're really trying to figure out what it is about them that defines their shows. And I think they have a lot of good energy, especially coming off of House of Cards. Like mm-hmm. there's a lot of really good buzz around that. And I think that the, you know, from what I've heard about from the producer of the show, like talking about how production went on it and how Netflix dealt with them as a production team. If they keep up that kind of like very.
So if you could give them one advice, you know, the Netflix execs came mm-hmm. to you and said, Caleb, what do we need to do for our next one? Not idea, not that sort of thing, but just what do we need to do?
I would say make sure that the characters deliver, because that's
okay.
At the end, that's where you will sell the series. You know, Firefly was built on characters. Most of the Star Trek's built on characters and a very good concept. So if you can get both concept and character together, you'll get years and years of work out of it. But
okay,
if you can at least get character, you will definitely sell that particular series, and that will get your help you launch your next one even more.
Okay. On a sort of side note, tangent. I know Super Jason might be excited about this, but apparently, like, a couple of the writers or whatever for Star Trek Enterprise series.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that?
I did hear.
They
about
want
this.
To like get Netflix to like do another season
do
or something,
possibly a final season or a final movie to wrap up the series, since it never really got that. So,
So that could be interesting.
I don't think that will ever happen, but hey,
we
can all.
The reason why they pointed at it was, I forget what it was, but there was some proof that it could happen. Like somebody had brought it up on some blog or something like that, and it ended up getting just a massive response that people weren't expecting.
Yeah.
So I think that's the main thing.
Yeah. So does that wrap up Caleb's Corner?
That wraps up Caleb's Corner for now.
Alrighty.
Tune in next week.
So I have a little something to tell you about. KSCU over here, we give away lots of tickets, right? Do you love going to shows? Then keep your radio tuned right here to 103.3 FM, because we're always giving tickets away. Check our website at kscu.org or go to our events page to see which shows we have tickets for.
Alrighty, we're going to take another little music break and then come back with our game discussion, where we'll talk about Sanctum 2, Resident Evil Revelation, and the new DLC for Borderlands 2. Alrighty, we are Robots Attack.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central Talk Show on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. All right, we are now in the game discussion. First, let us talk about Sanctum 2, an arcade game that dropped this week. I had a chance to try out the trial. Anyone else?
I did too. Question for you. Which Yes. characters did you use?
I only played it with one character.
Oh, okay.
I think the first chick.
Right, right.
So,
it seems to be the main character. Yeah.
Yeah. So I never played the first Sanctum game.
Nor did I.
I had never heard of this game before, and I had no idea exactly
what it was. I had heard of it, however.
Oh, okay, so. Okay. Yeah, I had no idea what it was about. I had no idea that it was a first-person tower defense game.
Right.
Because when it's set in, like, sort of a futuristic
future
alien,
France.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's, and it has, like, sort of, what was it, like, comic book kind of cutscenes, which
right.
is, you know, a still image with some, you know, bubble.
Very French spots. Designs is
yeah.
why I mentioned
it's
it.
It's a French game.
Yeah.
A Frenchy French
I didn't even
game.
Know
French.
It was actually a French game.
I don't
but
know. I just think Fifth Element, but...
Yeah.
Swedish.
There you go. Combine French and Swedish.
Really? Swedish? I really wouldn't have called that.
The company created is in Sweden.
Dang. Okay. There you go.
Influenced by France.
Right. By way of France.
Yes.
Right.
From
they
what,
took the channel.
From what two Americans think.
Right.
So
yeah.
Take that with a grain of salt.
Oh,
so basically,
man.
You start off, you jump in, and I'm like, all right, so this is a first-person shooter. So you go down through some corridors a little bit, shooting some aliens, and then all of a sudden you opened up into this...
Courtyard.
And I was like, what the... It's like, it gave me these things to lay stuff down now. Like, what the heck is going on?
Okay, so you were completely clueless on
yeah.
the format. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I almost wish I would have felt that way, because that would have been kind of a neat experience to me.
Yeah, I was like... What is going on? Like, it had the picture of, okay, the wave that was going to come up, and then, you know, and then
right.
it's like, okay, and I start, oh, I'm laying things down. And then it's like, okay, I have to protect this giant orb thing.
Right.
And so, yeah. It's,
which seems worth protecting. I
Yes. Yeah. You know, giant orb, energy orbs.
Yeah.
You just feel like you have to protect them.
Right.
Yeah. It only makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, as you play, it spits out, like, credits and, like, building materials for you to make more
right.
stuff.
Right, and to build walls and to build,
like, turrets
upgrade,
and
upgrade the walls into turrets basically.
And, yeah. Yeah, and then you set things up and then hit the back button and then it starts the wave, and if
right.
you survive that wave, you
most
rinse
convenient
and
attackers ever.
Yeah, they wait for you. Oh, you ready? Okay.
Right.
Although I think there is a time limit.
That
like,
is true. Yeah.
But yeah. So I had no idea going in what this was. It definitely has a unique style. If you're into,
it's got sort of a neat sense of humor too. It seemed like I liked as you're going through sort of the tutorial area.
Mm.
It gives you this idea that the it's aliens attacking by having guys in spacesuit looking things, like two of them standing on top of an alien going,
yeah, one guy like, taking a picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there was a room where there was like a little alien, like chasing a guy like,
right.
around a table. He's like, ah.
And I was dumb. I thought I'd better help this guy.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, it's just,
it's
for
just
effect.
There. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you,
there's like guys crying in corners.
Yeah. So if you like sci-fi tower defense games in first person, you may like this game.
I messed around with it maybe a little bit more. I upgraded towers a bit. I messed around with more of the characters and read a little bit about what the rest of the characters are. And that's sort of the neat thing about it, from what I can tell, is that there is a lot of depth to it that I wouldn't have expected. I know tower defense games, it's usually just unlocking the next groovy tower.
Yeah.
And they have that. But... basically, it seems to be that you queue up kind of a perks list for your character.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is what types of towers you have, what sort of special abilities you have to complement that, and what sort of weapons you have. And each of the characters starts out with their own unique weapon. But they also have other secondary weapons that seem to be like unlockable across the board. So I thought it was kind of interesting, and I wanted to play more than the demo let me. But with just that, it was a little bit slim for me.
Yeah. Cool. Well, the next game, I tried out the demo for Resident Evil Revelations. Anyone else had a chance to try this?
No, okay.
Basically, it's a port for the 3DS game.
Oh, okay.
You know, it looks nice. Like, you know, it looks like a typical Resident Evil game. It looks like it takes place on a giant cruise ship.
Okay.
So it's got a lot of that.
The picture of an eye looking through a porthole makes more sense to me now.
It's got that narrow corridor feel that kind of the old Resident Evil
old Space Hulk video game had.
Yeah. Exactly.
click the right turn arrow.
Although the creatures that you fight in there, they do sort of look. Tyranid-ish family, perhaps. Okay. Hmm. Take a zombie, mix it with some Tyranid DNA. And
some nano DNA.
It's got the, it seems like, you know, it's got, you can move and shoot.
Okay, that's a good start.
Yeah, it's still, though, I don't know what it is. Granted, I've only played the demo for Resident Evil 6, but it still feels like they haven't nailed that
action movie
feel of moving and shooting. They just seem to want to go for this realistic movement. It's like, okay, but come on, I'm playing a video game, and I've seen tons of action movies where people run and shoot, and I know that's not, they couldn't hit anything or they do anything realistically, but I don't want that realism in this, you know?
Resist a game.
Yeah, so it had that going for it. And then the other thing was some kind of scanner that you could use to scan scenes. It was sort of a mix of CSI and Resident Evil. Yeah. Okay. You would scan bodies or something, or scenes to find keys or things that.
Okay.
So it had that kind of added element to it. So that was kind of neat. I'm a Resident Evil fan, so I'm sure at some point I'll pick it up. But yeah, it's Resident Evil, and if it seems
it lived up to the
it's
brand,
more, it seems more like the older ones, where it's a little more kind of horror-ish than action.
Okay,
with the tight corridors and stuff from the, because you're on a giant cruise liner, so and it has that as you're moving, since you're on the water. It rocks.
Scene will shift. Nice.
Yeah,
you'll
shift so as you're moving and stuff. So yeah. That's Resident Evil Revelations. It's got a demo on platforms of your choosing. So definitely, if you feel inclined to check that out, go for it. All right, the last one. Try to make it quick. We don't have a whole lot of time left. We want to get to our core, but we got the DLC for Borderlands 2.
That's right. Krieg the Psycho dropped as the new character that's coming into Borderlands. And I'm a sucker for the game, so I don't know if I'm just automatically going to love it. But I think they built a really solid character that has a new, nice twist on the game.
Okay.
But is also sort of a throwback at the same time. This game, it has certain trees with some of the characters that it kind of upgrade your melee a little bit, so that you end up having that outlet to a certain extent, but nothing that really makes you feel like it's kind of turning towards a melee game at all. The Krieg's special ability definitely pushes it way towards that. Ends up making it so it's a full-on, really strong melee attack, kind of like the brick attack was in the first game, which I thought was kind of neat because on top of just having the melee, it has really nice animations, and being able to do tons of damage if you actually take the gamble and get close is cool. But you have another option with it if you want to be a little bit more safe with everything. You can actually throw axes also, and they do way more damage than your normal stuff would, and you go into this sort of psychotic state. And the other thing that's kind of cool about it is that they added a bunch of neat little twists to it. As you go through the trees, you can unlock different abilities that change this melee ability. Like, one is more of a flame okay. type of tree, which replaces it with fire breathing, which I'm looking forward to because that's one I'm going for.
Okay.
The other one that they've shown off a lot on videos and whatnot is one where you're actually holding a stick of dynamite, so you turn into one of the suicide bomber type of
okay.
psychos. But he has the extra ability of, if you do that, of throwing single sticks of dynamite at people,
okay.
which ends up being kind of like the axe thing, the axe throw. And anyway, it ends up making a really nice twist that breaks up the gameplay really nicely, if in case you get completely tired of whatever guns you're handling, which you don't always have the ideal gun.
Yeah,
it's nice to have a really good, strong backup that's actually fun. And the last little cherry on top of it, when he goes into the psycho state, there's voices in his head.
Okay.
And I've only nice. Heard a few of them so far because they don't happen all the time, but it's really cool because it seems like what they did is they replaced the echo recorder at the beginning. He doesn't come with one.
Okay.
So you don't really get a backstory with him hardly at all.
Mm-hmm.
But you do get little bits of that sort of idea just from the voices that come through.
Cool.
Sounds like fun.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I enjoy him a lot. I recommend him. At least try him out if you have somebody who can lend you him.
Cool. Alrighty, well, before we get to the core, we've got a PSA.
A PSA!
Yay!
Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving forever and foster homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks and you can share your stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook.
You are now entering the core. Enjoy your stay.
All right, that's right. You are now on the core on Robots Attack. We're going to be discussing Call of Duty Ghosts.
Sweet.
Okay, so we've all here have watched the teaser trailer, the live-action teaser trailer that doesn't show any actual game footage.
Yes.
Okay. My question, for you know, just to give a quick little thing, the idea behind it was it showed a bunch of different
warriors through history.
Yeah, and the talk
and different cultures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And talked about the masks, quote unquote, that they wear to inspire or
instill fear.
Yeah. So, and then it kind of, you know, finally ends on a mask on, you know, one of the soldiers, quote unquote, at the very end. So my question is, do you think masks are going to play an actual part in the game, or do you think this is just kind of a thematic effect?
I hope, but I can almost guarantee it's a thematic effect.
Okay. Because, I was curious if the masks were going to be involved in, like, a new kind of perk system, if they were going to be customizable, like Army of Two, that sort of thing. I don't know.
Yeah, that could have been interesting. I would... I don't know if they would go if they would do that, but I think it would definitely take the series into a slightly new direction, which would be very
interesting.
Because
here's the thing: what does it need for everything that Black Ops 2 did and made it, you know, still fun to play for a lot of people? It needs to be something completely different, especially since it's going to be on the new consoles as well. So, mm-hmm. What does it need to do? What would you like to see? What sort of stuff that does Ghosts need to offer?
Honestly, one direction that I think that Black Ops 2 went in that I think they could go a lot farther in, and I'd really hope they do, is having a kind of breaking the bounds of what makes up a kit. I think it's such a cool thing being able to make a more fleshed out handgun kit, for instance. And if they could go farther with that and maybe figure out ways to make just a knife kit that's kind of cool, or even like crossbow stuff and stuff like that, okay. I think that would be a neat direction to go in.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, there was so much customization. You're like, you know, I don't like any of these first perks. Instead, I'm going to load up on this other thing.
But see, here's the thing. I don't mean to interrupt, but that's a lot. I mean, for a lot of people, though, it's like, it's still the same game in a lot of people's eyes. I mean, for me, I think all that stuff does make it different. But for a lot of people, they still think it's just another Call of Duty game. Like, it does the exact same thing.
Okay.
What does it need to do, I don't know, maybe for lack of a better thing, to win those people back? Or what does it need to, so that you can show people, like, look, this is not the same Call of Duty. Like, do you need to be able to do different stuff with your character, like, actually in-game? Does it need to get rid of kill streaks or score streaks? Does it need to...
Honestly, destroy the perk system is the best way to do that. But what you replace it with is a huge question.
Yeah.
I mean, not to go too far on, like, praising Black Ops 2, I think they had a really cool idea in Black Ops 2 also, is that you weigh a lot heavier on the weapons themselves and what you're attaching to them, instead of actually having it be perks per se. I think that's a good direction to go.
Do you think they'll go, judging, I mean, since we only have the knowledge of this teaser trailer, do you see them, like, you think that's kind of the direction they're going to go with? Because it doesn't,
I guess I can kind of see that, like, as far as the mask idea, it could play into a lot of the different perks ideas. As far as having it be an actual element or item that you're actually working with. But I'd be afraid of it ending up kind of too D&D-ish, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. Like, as soon as things start feeling like they have a magical ability instead of an innate ability, it kind of loses it for that. So.
Okay. Yeah, because for, like, Caleb, the past couple Call of Duty games, I mean, for Ghosts, what does Ghosts need to do to get you to get it? Not counting, like, say you had the money, nothing was stopping you. What does it need to do to get you to make that purchase? Like,
the thing that I would like to see come back or be explored more is the is the alternative to the kill streak, because I am a decent shot, but I'm not very good at it. There's so many people that are much better at it than I am. So getting, like, a number of kills per life is actually kind of difficult for me. Having some other way, having another way to be of use of service to my team besides just getting obscene numbers of kills would be.
So you'd like to see the game try and do a good focus on teamwork versus just like lone wolf.
Yeah. Another callback to old game, Mass Effect 3. Like, that's one thing, like, but it's multiplayer. Is that I agree. Admittedly, it's a totally different style. But the idea of that it's a team going in there to go in and do a job. I liked that aspect. If they could,
the loss of any one of them ends it too. I thought that was kind of a nice touch.
Mm-hmm. And I realized that would sort of break a lot of the Call of Duty and first person shooter style aesthetic, but if there was some way to kind of help have your teammates do something else for you besides shoot another opposing player, it would be kind of nice. Like, that's one thing I actually kind of like about the Battlefield system, is that like if you play assault, you can throw out a med kit or you can pick up defibrillator. So like your friend goes down, pop, you can put him back and bring him back into the game. Yeah. I like that aspect of the Battlefield system. And if they did, they don't have to copy that, but something like it where you have alternatives to shooting.
Sorry. I don't have anything in particular to add to that. I mean, I do particularly like how in the third one and in the latest one, how they do, as you said, the point streak rather than the kill streak. Which one was it where they had you could choose the streaks that you would get? They were either offensive or defensive.
That was three. Modern Warfare 3.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Modern Warfare 3. Different. They're different companies as well, you know, and everything else. But that was sort of interesting too, that I liked, where you could, you know, I would much rather help, you know, kill the other baddies, or I would much rather help, you know, my team kill the baddies. You know, saying so that would also be an interesting thing to explore if possible.
Okay, so two votes for more teamwork.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
there's alternatives to being a better shot, because some, you know, there's only so much you can do to be a better shot against a 13-year-old who's got reflexes that far outweigh your own.
Yeah,
and has probably been playing it most of their life
at this point now. Yeah, so
yeah, and I'm also a fan of the combat training. You know, I'm somebody who doesn't always stick with the first-person shooters, and so I like to come back and then, you know, be completely rusty, and then I can try it out on my own before, you know, just getting my butt kicked online. Go, okay, I'm closer to where I was before, and now I can get my butt kicked. But at least now I have a fighting chance versus, you know, just coming off, you know, not having played for 2 or 3 months and getting a chance to get back into that.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I know in the last sort of little bit in the trailer was showing off the guys. They had like, looked like, you know, a couple sort of sniperish guys, and then they had one guy that had a dog with them. So
yeah, it looked like they were.
I know they've always sort of teased. Yeah, they've always
ever
teased
since
that
the
in a lot
very
of them,
first game on that. So
I just wonder now, though, since they're going to be on the next gen consoles, if they're going to be able to add more of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, maybe
into
a little
it,
bit
you know?
Better AI, because the processing power has hiked some, so who knows.
I also liked in Modern Warfare 3, probably actually my favorite thing about that particular game was the spec ops, where you would, you know, you and a team player, if you wanted, or just by yourself, you know, just wave out, you know, you'd have this one little area to fend off by yourself or with your teammate, and then it would just be wave after wave of bad guys. I really liked that. I thought that was a lot of fun. It would be neat to see something like that, you know, a different kind of game mode as well.
Sounds good.
Versus Spec Ops. There we go.
Versus Spec Ops.
that could be interesting. Well, definitely tell us what you think is going to be in the next one, what you'd like to see on our Facebook page. And that's going to do it for Robots Attack tonight. We're here every Thursday from 7 to 9. Thanks for listening to the show. Coming up next, the Pre-Funk Show. Stick around for that. And we will be back next Thursday. All right. We are Robots Attack.
Raccoon. Veronica. Mixto.